We're going to be reading from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming. Heavenly Father, we are so graciously glad for your generosity, your forgiveness, your patience, and the amazing love that it required to send your Son to redeem unworthy us. We ask as we gather here on the day that we call Good Friday that you help us remember the goodness of it and the wonder of it and conduct us home safely, all these things being done in your will. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you. You can all be seated. Forgive me if it takes me just a second to catch my breath. It's been a long time since I've sung kind of sort of by myself up on the stage anywhere. And you think it's good, and then you start doing it, and all of a sudden you're like, thank you very much. We as adults have a problem that we seldom see as a problem. Somewhere in our journey from childhood through adolescence and into our days as grown-ups, we lose our sense of wonder. Sometimes we don't even lose it. Sometimes we just give it away. Often, and perhaps always, our sense of wonder is the first thing we lose as we grow up. Our life falls into routine and the never-ending march of obligations. The amazing becomes common. We yawn at things that once used to entrance us. We get busy. We keep our heads down. We get caught up in the hustle. Even as Christians, we normalize so much of our faith. We frail, silly mortals may have conversations with Almighty God. I mean, think about that. We get to speak directly to God. And he not only hears us, he wants us to. He tells us, talk to me. Let's talk. We live in a universe that is dizzyingly large and unimaginably complex. And it was created for us. And we also normalize sometimes, well, more than sometimes, we normalize the cross as well. We don't mean to, but it happens. Now, I want to say that this tonight, it's not really a sermon. It's a reminder, and it's an encouragement. Because I can't very well give a scolding sermon on how we might normalize the cross, because I do it all the time too. We sing all these songs about the cross, right? We sing them, and oftentimes we don't think about them quite so much. I just want to give us some things tonight to remind us that what Jesus did for us is truly wonderful. Literally, it's full of wonder. And I picked the reference in Philippians because the way Paul writes there, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he picks some words that are just perfect. Where Paul says, Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He did this to himself. God didn't zap Jesus. Jesus did it to himself. He made a choice. Later on, he says, he humbled himself and became obedient. He did that. He did not have to do that. I was reading something. It came up on my little RSS reader, and it was talking about the cross and the inevitability of the cross, and not inevitability in the way that Pastor Randy was talking about Sunday, but like, well, of course, Jesus, you know, had to die, and he was going to. Like, Jesus didn't get a choice. You don't know what Bible you're reading, but he did it. He didn't have to do it. He did it. At any point, he could have not done it. He did it. He humbled himself. It says he took the form of a man. He didn't have the form of a man imposed on him. He took it. And one of the things that boggles my mind sometimes is, once he took it, he has it. He has it now. He'll have it forever. He decided to humble himself and take on the appearance of man forever. For us. And a part of the wonder is, and I'm just going to throw these little tidbits out of here, so forgive me if this is not formally organized by a sermon. When I say for us, that's another way that we kind of, oh, Jesus died for everybody. Yes. Yes, he did. But he died for you. I am confident, 198% confident, those of you with math degrees, don't correct me, I'm on a roll here. I am confident that if there were only one human being on earth, Jesus would die for that one human being. If there was one human being to redeem from an eternity in hell, Jesus would have done it. Because of the love of God. It's easy to get lost in that wonder. And it's okay, by the way. It's absolutely okay. If you just kind of sit around and think about it and it just boggles your mind for a while and you lose track of the time, it's great. It's perfectly fine. But just think about this. Jesus did this stuff for us. The earlier reading, I didn't do that on purpose. I picked it because it was kind of, it struck me, the reading that Joseph read in Mark. The thing that struck me about that was that everything that happened there was specifically designed by human beings to humiliate Jesus. Why don't you think about that? The inscription they put on the cross, the King of the Jews, that wasn't an honorific, like if you get promoted to vice president of marketing and they put a plaque on your door. They were making fun of him. The thieves weren't there by accident. The thieves were there so that Jesus would be specifically murdered with criminals on either side of him. There was no honor in this. None. No honor. They wanted him there so that any honor anyone tried to put on that crucifixion at the time could be taken away, because there is Jesus with two common thieves. By the way, little cool thing, what we just read in Philippians, Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And yet he was crucified with two thieves. Shows you what he thinks about it compared to what we think about it. The casual blasphemy. People literally walked by him, if I may paraphrase, while he was on the cross, bleeding and dying, walked by him and said, "Ha-ha, you said you were going to crush the temple in 3 days and raise it up. Well, Mr. Big Talk, imagine that you're just dying and the only word that people that walk by you have for you is insult. And I don't mean polite little jarring, I mean they meant it. If those words had been weapons, they would have been happy to use them. The private mockery of the Pharisees, where they said, "Oh, he could save everybody else, but he can't save himself." Man, you talk about missing the point. Yes, Pharisees, he did save everybody else because he didn't save himself. Thanks for noticing. I know it's not what you meant. But still, think about that. And even the thieves, as he read, even the thieves ridiculed him. You have been crucified, and yet you have the energy, you have the breath in your lungs to insult the guy dying next to you? This is all designed to humiliate Jesus, to degrade him, to belittle him. And as Paul said, he humbled himself. He had to take exactly none of that. Not a single picosecond of any of that treatment. None of it. And he did. Not just for a second, not just for a minute, for hours and hours. Goes all the way back to the courtroom where they slapped him around and made fun of him and played games with him. And he walked, as Pastor Randy said Sunday, he made it, his actions made it so that they had no other option but to put him there. He took away every option on purpose. Himself, he did this. Man. I don't want to repeat myself. I kind of do. But it's wonderful, isn't it? It's wonderful. I was writing down my notes, and I remember this verse. I'm going to read it to you. Luke 18:17. And it hit me in a completely different way. Because I was talking about the wonder that children have. By the way, if you've never spent time around small kids, you should do it sometime because they will notice the most amazing things and be utterly transfixed by them. I have seen kids literally stare at a leaf for 20 minutes. Not because they didn't know what they were looking at, but because it was endlessly fascinating to them. They're trying to figure out how it works, how it's made, what all those little things are going in all those directions. Right? I used to be a kid like that. I used to like play in the dirt a lot and find bugs and figure it out. I never could understand what bugs were doing in the dirt. And honestly, if you have a choice to live in the dirt or someplace else, pick someplace else. I mean, not my house, somebody else's house. Not the dirt. But bugs live in the dirt. They live in the dirt on purpose. God made them to live in the dirt. Luke 18:17. Sorry, that was a big aside. Jesus is talking to people. He says, "Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And yes, we can read it to say that if you don't receive God in a state of utter dependence and helplessness, I can't do it. I need someone to help me. Much like a child can't do a lot. An adult has to help them. But I got thinking about it. What if receiving the kingdom of God as a child means you have that sense of wonder. That you look at the cross and just go, wow. And not even just wow, but kind of like, wow, how does that work? How does that work? What did he do? How did he do it? And the more you learn, the more you find out how wonderful it is. It is a rabbit hole that never ends. You can study the love of God through the cross for your whole life. And never reach bottom. Never run out of things to learn. Never run out of revelations. God will keep giving them to you. But look at it like a child and like, wow, that's amazing. Just kind of walk around a little dumbfounded. And then, I don't know how many of you guys have had this happen, a little kid finds something cool. What is the first thing that little kid does? And that little kid finds something cool. I didn't see that. They run and show somebody else the cool thing they found. Sometimes it's you. Sometimes it's an adult, right? And the adult's like, I've seen 100 rocks. You haven't seen this one. This is the cool rock, right? The first thing a kid does with that sense of wonder is tries to share it with somebody else. Fully believing that everyone has the same sense of wonder. That the rock they picked up and they think is cool, everybody's going to think is cool. I kind of feel like this is how we can be with the cross. Not everybody's gonna. That shouldn't stop us. Because no, not everybody's gonna. Some people will. And God put us here to help find them. And show them the cross. And show them the wonder of that cross. And yeah, not everybody's gonna. They're gonna hate you, some of them. Some of them are just gonna tell you to get away. Fine. Okay. But the ones who don't, the ones who pick it up and look at it, and find the wonder themselves, we Well, you just picked up new family, my friends. You just picked up another brother or sister. And the wonder has one more thing. I'm not going to go very long because, honestly, I've kind of had this annoying feeling since Pastor Randy asked me to do this that with me singing and preaching, there's just a limit of how much Jimmy any one human being can stand in front of them at any moment. And I want to kind of keep this short because I feel like that limit is going to get close. Easter's coming, and I want to keep going with what Paul wrote in Philippians. Because the wonder doesn't end with the cross. The wonder keeps going. He says, therefore, and I want to stop real quick, because those of you who have grown up in Baptist churches a long time, especially certain types of Baptist churches, will know what they say about the word therefore in the Bible. If you see the word therefore in the Bible, you got to do what? You got to stop and see what it's there for. I didn't make it up. I'm just contractually obliged to pass it along. Sorry. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above all name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I was talking with Mary just beforehand, and she says, I cannot wait to see that happen. Won't that be wonderful? Literally, won't that be wonderful? We have that to look forward to. We have the wonder of the cross, but in just a couple days, we're going to celebrate Jesus' exaltation. He gets to walk out of the tomb. He walks himself out of the tomb. He walked himself in. He walks himself out. I wrote a little note here. And if that's not worthy of wonder, exactly what is? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the wonder of the cross, for sending your Son to die for us. God, we are not worthy in any way. Help us to keep that wonder in the forefront. Help us to keep our minds fresh, uncynical, out of the routine, that we can remember what your Son did for us and what you sent him to do with the wonder of the child. We ask as we go about this week that you keep this wonder, God, that you work your will in our lives. That you keep us, if it be your will, safe and healthy. Bring us back here Sunday morning, ready to celebrate the resurrection day. We ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen.
If you would like to know more about us, you can find us on the web at wpbcmd.org and on Facebook at White Plains Baptist Church 1978.